And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, you know what time it is. It's summer in the city and time for Mike Wiggins and the Garden Lawn.
Well, Meg.
Good morning, Mike.
Great choice of music.
A little loving spoonful for you.
Oh, yes, to get our toes tapping
early, sir.
This morning. It's good to be here.
It really is.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it's gorgeous. Hot town, summer in the city. Everything's happening. We had the 4th, and now we're into the Red, White, and Blues week. It's official.
Did you enjoy your 4th?
I did. I enjoyed it because it was quiet.
that's always good.
I'm not sure if that's a sign of anything, but exactly. I just really enjoyed being with friends and just hanging out and relaxing. Had a few hot dogs.
And hamburgers. You know, yep. We had that too. So we did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a big week coming up.
Yeah. Today is the last day before everything starts happening.
Exactly.
It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's going to be crazy.
Exactly. We, back in the day, we used to get a hotel room over at the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to go.
We had all the grandchildren come out there, or all the grandchildren go different directions.
Right.
They come home from school there with their friends. So we don't do that anymore.
Aww.
But boy, it was fun.
Yeah, we used to have
nothing like the blue. I used to watch them from the boat, too.
That's a great way to watch them if you can. Yeah, because you get away from the crowds on the beach, but it's still a lot of fun.
Oh, it is fun. And everybody just needs to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
If the weather stays the same, that will be wonderful. They can do the high show. But it's going to be hot. Be careful out there in the sun.
Yep.
Sunscreen, good umbrella. All of
hydrate.
Hydrate, no question. So just do all the right things to just have a good time. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. It'll be great. And there's a whole schedule. You can find that on various websites. There's a Blues schedule, I believe, and you can find out exactly when everything's happening. Tomorrow morning's the Breakfast with the Blues at 7:30.
Exactly.
So there's a couple restaurants that are offering deals out there, and you can also just hang out on Casino Beach first thing in the morning. Then Thursday's the practice, so they have kind of the informal practice. Now, last year, interestingly enough, it was as crowded on Thursday as it was on Saturday. The numbers were crazy.
Really?
Yeah, almost as busy as Saturday. I mean, it was really unusual. And then Friday was a little...
I was going to say, now Friday is the full show.
Yeah, they do the civilian planes and then the regular show.
Right.
But it was interesting. Last year, Thursday was just really, really busy.
I wonder why.
I think all the locals go out on Thursday.
There you go. They know that on Saturday.
That's right. All the locals catch it on Thursday.
You better leave early. And I never forget, I was back in my running days, I would stay over at the beach for the Blues, and I would kind of run towards the casino.
Right.
And at 5:30 in the morning,
oh yeah,
you couldn't get a parking place.
There are people that spend the night out there Friday night. I mean, it's crazy.
You almost have to.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You almost have to.
But
well,
it's fun. All right, so let's get back to gardening.
A little gardening here. Well, we've got to start with the weather.
Yes.
We actually have to. It is hot. And one of our goals, of course, is to protect our investment. We've said this on the Garden Lawn many times, and it is an investment. The plants, the fertilizer, the sod, all of that we have put in this spring was not cheap.
It's
not cheap anymore. And so you really have to protect it. And, of course, you need to do that with some proper water. You've got to water. I'm ready to recommend that we go right back to our summer schedule of 3 times a week, a minimum of 30 minutes. Now, if you live in Gulf Breeze, which has got obviously pure sandy soil, or at the beach, you may need to do it a little bit more than 30 minutes. If you live in Molino or Pace, a little denser soil there, you might not have to do quite that long, but kind of use that as a guide. And remember now, your lawn, for example, is going to tell you when it needs water. Remember, those blades will fold up.
It starts gasping
for breath. That's right. And as you push your lawnmower over it and kind of look behind you, mm-hmm. if it's left tracks, if you will, where the wheels were,
ooh,
that means it's dry also.
It's not a good sign.
So, no, not a good sign. And it will recover because a lot of the experts will say, well, you really need to wait until your lawn tells you it's dry. I never have subscribed to that, to be quite frank with you. I think you need, in this type of weather, you need a schedule where you, wherever you live, you're following a right schedule of getting enough water to sustain a healthy lawn. And of course, if you get a thunderstorm, you get a little shower, don't water that
mm-hmm,
day.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful, because a lot of people will look at the forecast and, oh, we're going to have thunderstorms, and your neighbor may get it, but you don't.
It's so strange here.
It is. It is strange. It is no doubt about it.
And so I know you've gone over this before, but what's the best time to do the watering?
Early. I think if you set your sprinkler at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh, that early.
Six or seven
okay.
works fine. The principle here, of course, is you don't want to do it at noon in weather like this, because it just evaporates
mm-hmm.
and doesn't get down to the roots where it'll do some good. And if you do it at night, then you're going to have a wet lawn all night long, which it quite frankly can promote fungus.
Oh.
Remember our favorite word.
No.
You got it? You ready?
No.
You ready? Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus.
I love it when you talk fungi.
I know. I hear you. But yeah, early morning.
There's
no question. But you need to do it. Now, obviously, your container plants are going to dry out really fast in
mm-hmm.
this heat. I know I've got some hibiscus in a big plant, and that's sort of my signal plant. When that leaf kind of drooping a little bit, it's time to water. That means everything needs water, every pot. And, of course, if you have clay pots,
mm-hmm.
Clay pots will dry out quicker because they are relatively porous. And so, yes, you need to your own plants. You know where they are. Is it on the north side of the house, the south side of the house? Because the wind
mm-hmm.
can dry things out. And you get into the 90 degrees and a little bit windy, those container plants are going to dry out really fast.
Yeah, I have a question for you about that, because I have some potted plants out in my patio. So when the heat gets so extreme, where we have that 100-degree heat index, that kind of thing, should you bring them in?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. If they're the type of plants that will take, say, a full sun,
mm-hmm.
let's go back to the hibiscus.
Right.
You know, it loves the full sun. No, I think if you just hand water it, and that's the chore. Sometimes if you have a lot of these container plants, it takes some time.
Can a plant get sunburned where it just gets too much light?
What it can, talking about the wind,
mm-hmm.
you couple the wind with the heat, sometimes you'll get some brown leaves, yes.
Okay.
So you're right. Weather can affect the leaves. There's no doubt about it. But just don't neglect the water. And, of course, we always recommend that scientific method for some of the smaller plants, you know, where you stick your finger down in the dirt. If it's dry, water. If it's moist, hey, you're cool.
I like that method.
You like that one. I got you.
If you got some questions for Mike, this is The Garden Line this morning, and it's Pensacola's expert panel, and he is our expert on gardening, no doubt about that. 850-437-1620. I've already got a question coming in this morning.
Great.
Okay, Mike, how to get rid of a weed called pony foot?
Pony foot.
I think I'm reading that right. Pony foot.
I don't know it.
Pony foot.
I don't know.
If I'm not reading it right, text and say what that is, or if you have another name for it, we'd appreciate it. 850-437-1620.
Pony foot. We need to go to our research department.
Yeah, it's in parentheses, yeah. Pony foot.
Yeah.
It's a weed.
They're a little lazy this morning. We need to wake them up over there.
Mm-hmm. Research department, pony foot.
Yeah, but that's a great question, because I don't know that one.
Okay.
But let me put it this way. If the pony foot is in your lawn, insofar as weed control is concerned, when it's 90 degrees, all of those weeds.
The research department just handed him a picture of the pony foot.
How did they do that so fast? I wonder where this pony, did she say where the pony foot was?
No.
Is it in the lawn?
Did not say.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. The research department's picture shows a similar, it's a dollar weed look. Not quite, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
similar.
A little bit. Yeah, it does
similar.
Look like dollar weed.
And the point is, if you've got, well, I don't care what kind of lawn you have, St. Augustine, Zoysia, Centipede, whatever, it's too hot to spray for those weeds. It is.
The technical name is, are you ready?
All right, go for it.
Dichondra argentea.
Dichondra, that's dollar weed.
Okay.
Dollar weed is a dichondra.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Very, God, that...
The research department's rocking it this morning.
I take it back. I didn't mean to insult the research department. Okay.
We got to go. We got to take a quick break here.
Okay. Then let's talk about this when we come back.
We sure will. It's 850-437-1620. It's the Garden Line. Your time to ask questions of our expert, Mike Wiggins. We'll be right back with Pep Talk in just a couple minutes.
Dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton.
Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with our host, Mike Wiggins. We had a question about dollar weed, dichondra. Is that correct?
Well, exactly, yeah. Dichondra. But the name that the folks who texted us called it ponyfoot.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I haven't, but I can see it.
I can
see it because it's a round dollar weed type a weed. Dichondra is... dollar weed, and it's also ponyfoot. Anyway, depending on where that weed is, the question was, what can she do about it? And if it's in your lawn, quite frankly, other than pulling it yourself in this heat, there's really not much that one can do. It's just too hot. Any herbicides, any weed killers you would put on this time of year is going to do probably more damage to your lawn than you want. So just don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a text that came in. They looked it up on the internet. This is from our remote research department. So thanks. It's from Bruce. Thanks for sending this in. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a dollar weed is also known as pennywort.
That's correct.
It's
that
a warm
correct.
Season perennial weed. It gets the common name dollar weed from its silver dollar-shaped leaves. Goes on to say, talks about that. Then he says, dollar weed is often confused with dichondra. One way to distinguish the two is by looking at the placement of the leaf stem. Dollar weed has a stem located in the center of the leaf, while dichondra stem is located at the edge.
Wow. Whew. That is excellent.
We
have got some of the smartest listeners.
Seriously.
Because over the years, in conversation about weeds, dichondra, dollar weed, kind of the same thing insofar mm-hmm. as, especially insofar as treatment
right.
is concerned. Because going back to what I said a minute ago, it's just too hot to spray for dollar weed. Now, what you can do is, one, there's some great, what we call post-emergence weed killers that we can use once it cools off a little bit, probably October.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do in November, of course, is use our pre-emergence. Remember, we use pre-emergence in November. Then 90 days after that, in February, we use it again, which will hopefully control some of that dichondra / dollar weed / pony foot.
Right.
That is in your yard. Now, if it's in your flower bed,
mm-hmm.
one thing you can do, if the, we'll call it pony foot, because that's I like that name anyway. If it's isolated from all your other plants, you can use a Roundup type of material, just so you don't even come close to touching good growing plants that you don't want to kill. Because in this heat, those what we call non-selective herbicides will work great, but they will kill everything. So
the listener that sent in the original question about the dollar weed, dichondra pony foot, right, pony foot. You are reading it correctly. It grows very close to the ground. It's in my lawn and has a vine that strings along right. and keeps going. And right. then it says, I guess I'll be on my hands and knees.
Oh, yeah, but let me tell you, if you're going on your hands and knees when it's 90 degrees outside,
no.
early in the morning yes. is when you want to do that.
Early.
Early, no question about it. So, yes, but that, you know, we joked.
Mm-hmm.
We joked a couple of weeks ago talking about dollar weed, dichondra, that especially in Gulf Breeze, if it was edible, you could feed the third world because it grows so prolific in kind of wet, sandy soil. It really thrives there. But it's everywhere in Escambia County. That's probably our number one weed issue.
Interesting. Okay.
But keep in mind, one more thing, and I'll say this. You also have to keep in mind that there are three different kind of weeds in the world. One is broadleaf weeds, which this is. This is a broadleaf weed. The other is grassy weeds, like crabgrass. And the third one is a sedge. Sedges are all over the world. And a sedge has a little stiff, triangular stem to it. And that is a whole different show.
Oh, gosh.
How
okay.
to control sedges. It's hard to do. But anyway, that's kind of the dichondra.
Okay, great. Well, sir, we're getting lots of texts coming in. 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, lots of questions to answer. So get ready, put your thinking cap on, Mr. Wiggins. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We got a question, Mike, about, let's see, what is your opinion about putting down lava rock in your garden versus mulch? Would it prevent plants from growing well?
I don't think so. I think it looks good. The one thing you've got to, I'm sure you would understand, because it's the same with mulch, be it pine bark or cypress mulch, is your weeds, especially with lava rock, are going to come through it. So you may want to consider putting down a landscape fabric, which is kind of a black porous fabric, before you put the lava rock on there. It's not going to get all the weeds. That's the whole thing. In Pensacola, people say, oh, I'll never have any weeds because I put down this landscape. No. No, you will, but it won't be as much. I have not had much luck over the years with landscape fabric, but the lava rock will look good.
It's pretty.
It's pretty. It may add a little more heat to the bed, so you may need to be sure what plants you're planting are not heat sensitive and that you can get good water to it. But no, I think it'll look very nice. So go for it.
Okay, we've got lots of questions coming in. We've got about a minute left here, so I'm going to throw this one out there. And if we can't get to all of it, we certainly will when we come back. Can you discuss the pros and cons of the weed killer Celsius?
Okay.
That's the question.
That's the question.
Yes, sir. You got about a minute.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Oh, because it's a longer
they're
answer.
All kind of, what you need to do with weed killers, I don't care what it is, be it Celsius or 2,4-D or... any of these weed killers, check the label. The label is so important because that is going to tell you if you can use it on the grass that you've got. Okay? I think, and I need to get the research department on this too. I'm not sure that Celsius may be a pre-emergence. Need to check on that. But the point is, there's many, many different weed killers out there, different brands, different formulations. That label is going to say, yes, you can use this on St. Augustine, but it will do damage in hot weather. So be very careful with that.
Okay, great. We've got lots of questions coming in. We got a whole nother half hour with Mike Wiggins on The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Send your questions in. We'll do our best to get to them this morning. And it's a great morning. It's Tuesday morning. Mike
yes,
Wiggins
it
in
is.
Here. It's The Garden Line. It's summertime, and we're having fun gardening. So don't go away. We're going to get to the news this morning, and then we'll be back with Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Good morning and welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it is The Garden Line for the next half hour. We are going to be here with our fabulous host, Mike Wiggins, who is our expert about gardening and lawns and anything to do with landscaping. He knows it all. So we were talking right before the break about a weed killer called Celsius.
Right. Thank you for the compliment about knowing it all.
Yes.
I did not know this one. I heard the name, but I never used it. It's called Celsius. But just let me tell you, let me qualify my answer.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here. I just looked it up on my phone, and it's very interesting. It's a weed control, if you will. But listen to this. Now, listen, I want to say this. This is not Mike and Meg talking. This is the Internet talking.
Correct, from their website, from the
company
website.
From their website, yeah. So please don't take this to the bank. But they are saying there's no high temperature limitations. But then they come next and say a lower risk of damaging turf grass at high temperatures. That's kind of contradicts itself. But it does say it's extremely safe on St. Augustine and centipede grass types. But let me tell you what I would do. If it were me and I had some Celsius or someone wanted to use Celsius on my lawn, I would not even think about it until I talked to the Escambia County Extension agent.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Talk to the folks up there and say, this is what I've got, or this is what's been recommended. I need your opinion on Celsius. Because, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, we have an enormous amount of time and effort and money in our lawns. And you use the wrong thing on it, you got big problems, mm-hmm. especially trying to use weed killers in the hot weather. I will still stick to my guns and say, put it on the shelf. But what I just read sounded promising, but I would really go to the county agent and say, what do you know about this stuff? That's just my opinion.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for sending that question in.
I appreciate
in.
The question. I really
We've had
do.
Some great ones so far this morning. Yeah. Our number to text in, 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line. We'd love to hear from you. Got another question for you, Mike. I recently built two new construction homes and laid sod in the front and backyard. Even though I've been watering it every day, all of the sod in the front yard that is exposed to more sunlight looks dead. Uh-oh. Do you think the sod will come back to life if I keep watering it, or am I going to have to replace it?
That's a hard question to answer because you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you watered it religiously, like it sounds like they did, there really is no reason that it should die, because we love to put sod down in the summertime. The hot weather is not a big deal if you can get enough water to it. The one thing I would look at is check the quality of that sod.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure that it had a good base to it, that it had the roots looked good. Sometimes if you dig sod up from point A and move it to point B, all you get is the top kind of shaved off, and it's just not enough root situation there to absorb the water that you put on it. So that would be what I would check for sure, because other than watering that grass just to beat the band, there's nothing I would say. There's no insect problems here. There's no fungus problems here, I don't believe. It's simply the sod not being able to adapt to where it is. And that is another thing. I don't have any idea where the sod came from. But if the sod has been moved from an area that, say, has some shade to it,
mm-hmm.
and now it goes into the full sun, sometime you'll have a shock, like a plant shock problem. But generally, that's not the case. When you buy sod commercially, it's been grown in these huge fields. You get over to Alabama, South Alabama over there. It's got so many sod fields over there. So that's what I would look at. Check the base of that sod as you put down in the front, because if it's all looking dead, it just sounds like it's not getting enough water.
Mm-hmm. So should they keep watering it for now?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no question. Keep watering. You don't want to give up on it.
Right.
No doubt about it. Whether it'll come back or not, hard to say. But I certainly would keep watering it. As a matter of fact, I'd water it every day. I'd water it every day.
Okay. That's great advice.
See if it'll come back.
Okay. Thank you so much for the question.
Appreciate the question. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. That's very frustrating to
Oh, my gosh. It's
expensive. To buy sod and to go to all that labor to lay it. And being conscientious and watering it and have it not work.
Ooh,
very frustrating.
Yeah, I would not be happy camper.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, we've got plenty of time here for your questions. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Let's see. Someone commented, new construction often lays new sod on red clay, which is not good. It's a comment from one of our listeners.
Right. Exactly. No, that's true, too. But it shouldn't all die.
Mm-hmm.
It really shouldn't. I've had a lot of people use the red clay, which I totally agree with the person who sent us the text. That is not the thing to do. What a lot of people don't understand is that our grass in Northwest Florida grows very well in our sand. Some of the best St. Augustine lawns I had were at the beach.
Interesting.
Our sand and that clay is just not what you need to do. A lot of people... Well, just some people, as a rite of spring, will get red clay and spread it over their yard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's totally the wrong thing to do. But I agree, that could be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. If that red clay is really packed down and that sod is not being able to establish roots into that soil, that could be part of the problem. I appreciate the comment. That's good.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. We're taking your questions at 850-437-1620. Did we answer the zoysia question already?
No.
We didn't.
I don't think we did.
Okay. So the question was, is zoysia a more expensive grass to buy and maintain? Is it worth the extra cost in our area?
I'm going to say there are two questions here. Going to say yes and yes.
Okay.
Zoysia may
cost... Would you elaborate?
Zoysia may cost you a little bit more than St. Augustine. But I have to tell you, and we've been through this many times, I won't make it a long deal, that zoysia grass has made such inroads insofar as sodding yards in Northwest Florida because, there are a lot of reasons, but one reason is the St. Augustine has had such problems. And we all know, insects, disease, that type of thing. Hard to control. Zoysia doesn't quite have those problems.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that has planted zoysia that I know of has been so pleased. And it looks almost, you mow it relatively low as opposed to St. Augustine and centipede. And it, you know.
When you say relatively low, what do you mean by
about
that?
About 2 inches.
Okay.
Probably about 2 inches. And it's it looks like a golf green.
Mm.
And you keep enough water on it and fertilize it. Be sure you mean sometimes you need to check the pH. You might need a little bit of lime to put on there, maybe in the spring. And then your fertilizer with high nitrogen fertilizer. It's great. They use that on golf courses in some areas.
So you feel like it's worth the expense?
Oh, I tell you. Oh no, if you want a gorgeous lawn, zoysia is the one for you. Now, keep in mind, I love St. Augustine. I really like it. But it really does have some of these problems that have been hard to control.
We may have a new slogan now.
And that is?
Zoysia is pretty much for you.
Let me write that down.
We're on that
I
note.
I like it.
Zoysia is pretty much for you.
Meg, that is why you are so good at this. So good at this.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Got more questions in, and we'd love to hear from you. There's plenty of time. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Don't go away. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, our host. Got a couple questions still rolling in. 850-437-1620. Here's another one, Mike. How can I get rid of that grass that seems to grow 2 or 3 inches overnight and a foot in a week? I have those little sprigs in my yard. Thank you.
I'm assuming we're talking about bahia grass.
Mm-hmm.
Bahia grass, you can watch it grow.
Really?
Not literally, but it just will grow overnight. There are two types of bahia grass, and we've talked about that on the Garden Line in the past. Argentine bahia and Pensacola bahia. Pensacola bahia is one that's really going to grow fast and grow taller. Argentine is a little thicker. Some people have used, because they want a drought-tolerant, no-problem grass, have planted bahia grass.
Mm-hmm.
Never plant Pensacola. Well, that's a mess. It's a real loose grass, but it does grow so fast. But Argentine, I think commercially, some people have used that. Probably a lot of by the Department of Transportation on the right-of-ways. Now, with all that being said, how do you get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. About the only way I know to totally get rid of it is to kill it all.
Wow, okay.
Once again, with a Roundup product that is totally non-selective, which means it'll kill everything. But the Roundup products will kill it all, but it won't sterilize the soil like some of the other weed killers, like brush killers and that type of thing. So you could, if you've got a patch of Argentine bahia or Pensacola bahia, and you spray it with that non-selective herbicide, this time of year is good because it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill it down through the roots. It translocates from the top down to the bottom of the roots and kills the roots. If you do that, kill it all, rake it out, then you can put new sod where that was. But if you're looking to kill Paella, say in a St. Augustine lawn.
He mentions or she mentions there's sprigs in the lawn.
Yeah, that's tough. Mm-hmm. That is tough to do. Yeah, and now if it's sprigs in the yard, if it's a newly sprigged yard, manually you could do it, but that's tough, tough duty. It really is. So it's a problem, and I wish you well.
Okay.
Well, that's hard to control.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sending in the question. 850-437-1620. We were laughing during the break talking about, at the beginning of the year, it's all about finding things and planting things. And now it's like, please help me maintain this. How do I keep my garden looking good and my lawn looking good and my vegetables looking good?
We're right here in Pensacola. We're not in the tropics, but
not quite.
We're close enough where so many of these problems are very difficult.
Oh, yes.
They really are. And let me mention one, too. I did mow my lawn the other day.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, as I mowed my St. Augustine lawn, all around me were the little gray, dingy moths fluttering around.
Really? What are those?
From my mowing. Those are moths that will lay eggs in your grass. The eggs hatch into sod webworms.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound good.
No, it's not. And this is getting to be the time of year, but one reason is the lawn, with all the rain we had.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us have slowly, our lush lawns have grown so fast, very thick, doing very well. But that's what sod webworms like. And they will come up and they will literally chew the leaves of grass. If you need to, what I recommend you doing, every couple of days, go out and look in your yard. If you've got an area that is generally in pretty good shape, but it's getting a brown look, go look at it real close, because what has happened is sod webworms will eat the blades. They don't eat the roots. They'll eat the blades of grass, and they're big. And the blades that are left have notches in them where they've literally chewed them out. Now, sod webworms are relatively easy to control. You can go buy granular or liquid lawn insect control. They're relatively easy. And the lawn will generally recover from that because these worms are not eating the roots of the grass. They're eating the blades. That's why when you look at it, it's kind of a brown spot because what you're looking at is the thatch that was there in the grass because the blades are gone because the worms ate it. So you need to inspect your lawn frequently this time of year for sod webworms. Now, chinch bugs are also, it's the time for that. Chinch bugs will eat the roots. They will kill the grass. And you'll find they have these brown spots very close to the street and to sidewalks and to driveways because that's where your turf is warmer.
Hmm.
And they love a warm turf. They're very
is
tropical.
Is that how you tell the difference between the two? The two
yes,
bugs?
Right. The sod webworms are so easy to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. I mean, you literally can go look at the spot, and you'll find the blades with the notches. And then kind of get your fingers, get some gloves, and separate the grass, and you'll find them. They're curled up during the day. They're curled up, and they're green.
So what should you do right away when you see that?
Go, if you see them, and you see the worms, you see the damage, buy you some liquid or granular lawn insect control and treat that spot and then treat an area, let's say a matter of 20 feet all around it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to do the whole yard because they're not going to get in the whole yard. But that's what you need to do because you do need to act. Now, chinch bugs, it's harder to diagnose because you've just got a brown spot here that's getting bigger and bigger. But if you think you have chinch bugs, what you can do, Meg, is cut a plug out of your yard. Let's say 6 inches by 6 inches, put it in a bucket, fill the bucket with water, kind of be sure that plug is sitting at the bottom of the bucket, and those chinch bugs, if that's what they are, if that's what you've got, will crawling up the side of that bucket. The little black bugs, they have, it looks like their back is gray. Those are really wings, but you can't tell that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a black bug with kind of a gray back to it. You'll know it.
Okay.
So they're crawling up that. Then you use the exact same chemical we used on the sod webworms.
Okay, great advice. Thank you so much for the question. We've got to take a quick break here and listen to a couple of commercials, but we'll be back right after the break on Pep Talk with the Garden Line. If you've got a question, still some time, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. Just a few minutes left, Mike. You said you had a couple things you want to talk about.
Well, it's just I want to follow up on what we said last week about fertilizing your centipede, zoysia, and St. Augustine midsummer. We're getting right where we need to be if we're going to do it. Now, one thing I would say, with all the rain we've had, many of the nutrients have gone away. So for St. Augustine and zoysia, a midsummer fertilization is important. But if you're going to do it, get the right stuff. Be sure it's a granular, slow release. That's important in this heat. Slow release fertilizer with a lot of the micro elements in it also. And be sure you put it on at the right rate. You don't want to, like we always talk about, you don't want to do it like you're playing poker where you can double up to catch up.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Okay.
So you could really do damage because it's so hot, so hot. But if you put it out, it's the right recommendation, and it's a good quality. Quality is the key here.
Do you have any brands that you recommend?
I think Fertilome is a good brand.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilome is a real good brand. And if you may have in your garage some of the 1608, are the 2244 or just one of those higher nitrogen fertilizers that you use in the spring, use it now.
Mm-hmm.
It'd just be fine to use it now. Then we have to back into centipede where we probably don't want to do anything. And if you do, put some iron on it. There's a product called Ironite that we've talked about before, which is a good mid-season for centipede. But a lot of the books, a lot of the experts will say, hey, don't worry about it. You can over-fertilize centipede. It's a native grass. What you'll need to do is wait till August for all three of those grasses and use a 10-5-14 winterizer. We'll hit that next time.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. You're always
fascinating. It's so fun.
The Garden Line here on Pep Talk. You can hear this podcast again on our podcast page at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and you can hear every episode Mike's ever done. And coming up next, we're going to have some great programming for the next hour right here on Pep Talk after the news. Thank you, Mike, for the Garden Line.
Thank you, Meg.